from the Boston Globe, our buddy Chris Price from the East Coast there is now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Chris, how you been, man?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
We are doing well, but you know what? As a sports talk show host or as a writer, every now and then you look upward and you say, you know, we just, it's kind of ho-hum. It's same old, same old. Please, God, give us something. And then God said, let me drop Antonio Brown in your lap. And then there you go. So how's it been?
You know, one thing I've learned over the years, Bill, when it comes to covering the Patriots is you never say never when it comes to this franchise, because the minute you say, well, they'll never go after that guy, or they'll never sign, or they'll never trade for so-and-so, they end up doing it.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's interesting when you put him in that group of guys that, you know, and I know we want to talk about this, but the quote-unquote reclamation projects, the guys like Corey Dillon and Randy Moss and, you know, Albert Haynesworth, this for me ranks probably at the top, because, you know, we've seen what, and this is setting aside everything that came to light last night, but you look at his track record and you say, I don't know how this is going to work. I'm going to be fascinated to see, again, setting aside all of the charges in the story that came up last night, how this is all going to work with the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how, one, they're going to handle him, two, if he kind of curbs the enthusiasm, if you will, and then with all of these allegations now coming out, I'm going to see what they do, if anything. This was a while ago. This wasn't a short period of time. This was a while ago that all this stuff was kind of levied against him, so I'm kind of wondering how even the NFL is going to handle it. Does the team say, well, we're going to, as far as his past, we're going to allow the NFL to do their thing, and then we'll rely upon the NFL to make a judgment, or are they going to take proactive action, do you think, or how is this going to play out in that particular realm?
More the former than the latter. If last night's statement from the Patriots is any indication, they pretty much said, we're going to kind of not stand aside, but we're going to let the league investigate this process. The next question right now is, what is his status? The thought is that he's likely, at least at this point, to end up on the commissioner's exempt list, which is, you know, Greg Hardy, Adrian Peterson, Josh Brown, Reuben Foster, where he will not be able to play with the team. He won't be able to be on the sidelines, but he'll still be able to get paid. He'll still be able to come to the facility while they kind of figure everything out. And that should take, you know, the timetables are different for different guys, but, you know, the thought process is that would take multiple weeks, at least at this point. So nothing has been set in stone, at least as far as I know, but things are kind of moving forward. And to me, that would be the likeliest destination for him, at least in the short term.
Going back to just Antonio Brown arriving in New England, and I respect players for getting what they can. I always have. If you can do it and you can find an owner to pay you to do it, go for it. The way he forced himself out of Pittsburgh and out of Oakland to the team that he originally wanted to go to, I got a big problem with. Do you think, for something like this, I don't think it's going to set a trend by any stretch. I think people are panicking on that. It's a knee-jerk reaction. But do you think in this particular case the NFL should step in and say, this as a whole wasn't right? You can't just go be a malcontent to get your way.
Well, I think, Bill, and this is a great question. It's a great topic, too, because really there are only a handful of guys who have the juice to do this. I don't think it's not like there's going to be a backup offensive lineman that's going to try this. So I don't think we're all of a sudden going to see players, you know, trying to do the same thing that Antonio Brown does. It reminds me a little bit, and I'm going to stress a little bit here, of Revis. And Revis was a guy who was able to dictate his own situation because he was a superstar. Now, even with him, it didn't even work on a consistent basis. But I don't see this becoming a big thing across the league because, look, for my money, there's only a handful of guys who could do something like this. I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying it's right. But I don't think that this is all of a sudden going to become a league-wide issue. I think that we see some of this in other sports where you get guys wanting to play on other teams, but nothing this extreme. I'll say this. We've never seen anything this extreme when you're talking about Antonio Brown. But in terms of, you know, the league looking into it, I just don't know how much power they would have over these kinds of situations because, again, this sort of thing has been tried before on a different level, admittedly, by a guy like Revis, and he was able to do it. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see, though, if this kind of creates a whole new environment for some of these superstar players who might want to try to force another team's hand to get out of a bad situation.
I'm talking with Chris Price of the Boston Globe about the New England Patriots and the arrival of Antonio Brown. So when do you expect Antonio Brown to be walking through the doors? Is that tomorrow? Is they, or today, I should say, as they get ready to start practicing, or when?
Yeah, he was actually – he posted something to Snapchat on Monday morning before 7 a.m. that he was in Foxborough, that he was ready to practice. Brady said on Monday night that he had a chance to meet with him at the facility and talk and kind of get a sense of, you know, where he was and, you know, kind of, you know, get the lay of the land, for lack of a better term. We're supposed to hear today from Brady. We're supposed to hear from Belichick here coming up in a few minutes. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what they end up doing today. He's supposed to practice with the team today. You know, he's listed. This would be the first day. Wednesday is the first day of practice. Wednesday is the first day they're on the field, you know, either in pads or whatever. But, you know, this would be, if this was a normal week, he would be out there this afternoon with the team. So we'll see what happens.
What do you think happens when it comes to, and I know we talked a little bit about the attitude, but is this where Belichick, because this is, to me, this is his last chance. You can't conform in New England and can't be somewhat, quote, controlled in New England. You're not going to be controlled anywhere, and nobody's going to really want you. I know the Seahawks looked into it, but if he looks at this and says, this is my last chance legitimately, and in his mind he knows he has to conform, then he'll be a terrific player. But what happens when he starts some of these antics? What does Bill Belichick do?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the thing is, when you look at those guys of the same, you know, who might be characterized the same way, who were brought in here, the Corey Dillons, the Randy Mosses, those types of guys, they never went kind of, you know, too far afield in that instance. Now, the big change there, the big difference there, at least in my mind, is there was no social media around. And Brown is obviously very, very active when it comes to social media. That's going to be worth monitoring. We're kind of in uncharted waters here. When you talk about a guy like Brown, when you talk about a guy in this era of social media who is so active, who is so outspoken when it comes to that kind of stuff, you know, playing for the Patriots, if he all of a sudden, you know, shuts everything down, in when I say that, I mean, you know, no more posts, you know, he's not as, you know, outgoing as he was before. I think it's a good sign for the Patriots. If he goes in the other direction, well, we'll see. You know, the one thing, and I'm glad you bring this up, is that there's risk there on both sides. And one of our columnists, Tara Sullivan, brought up a really good point. It's like, look, we're talking about the Patriots taking a risk on Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown, if this doesn't work out for him here now, he's not going to have a whole lot of options left. He'll be signed, but I think your point is really well taken in that, look, you know, if he can make it work with the Patriots, I'm not sure where he could make it work. So, you know, he has to realize that he's going to get another chance. Look, regardless of what happens, I think he's going to get another chance after this. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens to him moving forward if he can't make it here in New England.
I also want to know, does he become the number one target? I mean, do they suddenly start getting away? Because to me, the Patriots are methodical. They very much, like a surgeon, they cut you here, they cut you there, and you can die by 1,000 cuts. Now they have that over-the-top guy a la Randy Moss. Randy Moss, like you said, conformed. He came in and he wanted to be a Patriot and he wanted to do things a Patriot way. Antonio Brown, we know if he doesn't get the ball quite often, he can throw fits, he can be that guy. Maybe it does take a strong personality like Tom Brady to come in and say, this is what's going to happen and this is the way it's going to be, and either you're going to buy in or you're not. I kind of see this offense molding a little bit differently now, don't you?
Yeah, two points on that. I think that's a great point. I don't think he's going to be the number one. I think if you have to classify someone as number one wide receiver, it's going to be Edelman, just based on his background, his history with the team, the fact that he's worked with Brady for such an extended period of time. And there are going to be moments in big games where Brady, you know, everyone in the stadium is going to know that he's going to be throwing to Edelman. Like, everyone in the stadium knew that he'd be throwing to Gronk a few years ago. The second thing is, when you talk about, you know, I think one thing that needs to be mentioned here, and I've talked about this before, I think, with you, and I think it bears repeating, the Patriots have a very strong locker room infrastructure, and it's not just Brady. Everyone talks about falling in line behind Brady, but the Patriots seem to have an awful lot of guys on that roster who are good character veteran types who know how to create a harmonious locker room. I'm talking about guys like Devin McCourty, talking about guys like James White, guys who are not necessarily the elite above the title marquee talent, but guys who've been around for a long time, guys who know how to succeed in Foxborough, and guys who have the cachet to be able to pull a guy aside, a young guy or a new guy aside, and say, look, that's not the way we do things here. They carry that level of respect. So it's going to be, I want to see the impact of those guys on someone like Antonio Brown behind the scenes. There was a lot of talk last year when Josh Gordon came in at Matthew Slater, a very well-respected special teams veteran, was going to be a guy who was going to be leaning on him, who's going to be working with him, who's going to be keeping an eye on him. And that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw the same type of situation here with Antonio Brown, a little bit different circumstances, but one of those guys or a group of those guys working with Antonio Brown to keep him in a spot to where he needs to be.
Real quick before I let you go, were you as impressed with the way the Patriots just dissected Pittsburgh on opening night?
Yeah, and they did it without Van Noy.
Yeah.
They did it without, you know, Ben Watson, their number one tight end. You know, they
you keep waiting for the wheels to fall off, and the wheels don't fall off.
Yeah, you know, they keep things moving forward. The one thing they're mentioned too, and it's just important to you know, talk about this, the offense is great. And look, you know, Brady and Gordon and Edelman and James White and Sony Michel and all those, this is a really good defense. This has a chance to be a really, really good defense. And it's stocked with guys like Michael Bennett, who kind of has taken over for Trey Flowers, and Dante Hightower, and we mentioned McCourty and Steph Gilmore. They have a lot of really talented guys on the defensive side of the ball, which is going to allow them to play some complementary football, the likes of which I don't know if we've seen around here for a few years.
Always good to talk, Chris. We will talk to you soon, too, okay?
Sounds good. Take care, my
Thanks,
friend.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. That's our buddy Chris Price from the Boston Globe covering the Upper Eastern Seaboard of the New England area and the Boston area, and it is going to be something that you're going to look over the fence and you're going to keep your eye on. And join us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider Hiring Drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.